This podcast is brought to you by ClearBridge Investments. Meet an evolving economy confidently with ClearBridge Active Equities, the foundation of a resilient portfolio. ClearBridge, a Franklin Templeton company. Go to clearbridge.com to learn more.
Please stay tuned for important disclosure information at the conclusion of this episode.
Here's what's ahead on this week's Investing Insights. Stubborn inflation, high interest rates, and the debt ceiling debate are creating a lot of uncertainty. I'll talk with Morningstar Research Services senior U.S. economist about his economic outlook. Plus, fight back against inflation in your portfolio. An analyst recommends three ETFs. And what Morningstar thinks about Disney's plans to combine Disney Plus and Hulu. This is Investing Insights. Welcome to Investing Insights. I'm your host, Ivana Hampton. Let's get started with a look at the Morningstar headlines. Disney has posted disappointing fiscal second quarter results under CEO Bob Iger. The entertainment giant's parks delivered another impressive showing, and streaming losses continue to shrink. However, Disney Plus lost 4 million subscribers worldwide, while Hulu saw modest gains. The direct-to-consumer segment appears on track to turn a profit by the end of fiscal 2024. Morningstar thinks Disney needs to bring in more customers and drive stronger top-line growth to replace revenue from declining pay TV bundles. Average monthly revenue from each Disney Plus subscriber grew in the U.S. because of a December price increase, but the figure dropped everywhere else. Overall, however, it looks like fewer customers than expected quit the streaming service over higher prices. Disney's CEO has said the company will hike prices for its ad-free tier again later this year. Iger also announced plans to integrate Hulu into Disney Plus in the U.S., like its international versions. The company believes that having one app will promote higher usage and increase advertising opportunities. General entertainment content should also help Disney Plus add and keep subscribers. Morningstar doesn't think combining the streaming platforms means Disney would pay any price for Comcast Hulu's stake. Most of the content on Hulu comes from Disney and other providers besides Comcast. Morningstar is lowering what it thinks Disney stock is worth by $10 to $145 and views shares as undervalued. PayPal started 2023 off strong and beat expectations in the first quarter. The digital payment company's earnings report shows an uptick in net revenue and volume, and this marked a modest acceleration in both areas compared to the previous quarter. And Morningstar is pleased with the results. Investors should focus less on near-term absolute growth and instead focus on the growth compared with competitors. PayPal picked up share in the quarter. Holding or increasing market share is critical for the company's long-term growth prospects. Still, active account growth remains stalled and accounts declined slightly. However, management strategy to pivot toward driving more transactions from its current customers makes sense. Morningstar is encouraged to see that transactions per active account grew 13% year over year, and it appears PayPal has significant room to improve margins over time. The company has bought back more than $1 billion in stock during the quarter, and management expects about $4 billion in share buybacks in 2023. Morningstar considers this a good use of cash because the stock appears undervalued. It still estimates PayPal shares are worth $135. Shopify's big layoffs and spinoffs are overshadowing a stellar quarter. The Canadian e-commerce giant reported a 25% uptick in revenue in the first quarter to more than $1.5 billion. Payments volume, subscription, and merchant solutions revenue increased. The results beat Morningstar's expectations. Management signaled a better performance next quarter than Morningstar has predicted. Shopify also announced it's cutting 20% of its workforce, and it's selling its logistics business, including Shopify Fulfillment Network, to Flexport. Morningstar thought Shopify Fulfillment Network would help drive growth, but pressure margins. It also appears macro conditions are negatively affecting results, despite the good quarter. Shopify will likely continue to find success in attracting larger brands. Morningstar is lifting its per-share estimate of the worth of the e-commerce company stock from $45 to $57. The shares appear fairly valued. The U.S. economy is dealing with stubborn inflation, a strong jobs market, and 10 straight interest rate hikes. The debt ceiling is also looming. A question on many minds is, where is the U.S. economy headed? Morningstar Research Services senior U.S. economist Preston Caldwell is joining Investing Insights. Let's start with inflation. It's set at just over 4% in March from a year ago. Talk about where it looks like it's headed.
Yeah, so, you know, inflation in 2022 for the full year was just over 6%. That's the highest, was the highest level in over 40 years. But we are optimistic that inflation is coming back down to normal. And so we think by the end of this year, it should be within range of the Fed's 2% target. And that's because, you know, most of the high sources of inflation in the past are abating. So these supply chain disruptions in energy and food and durable goods and other areas are actually starting to work in the reverse direction. And that's providing and will continue to provide a lot of deflationary pressure, we think.
All right. Well, the Fed has raised interest rates 10 times in a row to fight inflation. What are your thoughts on whether we're headed toward an 11th hike or a pause?
We do think there's going to be a pause. Now, some people have speculated whether the Fed could start cutting rates very soon because of what's going on in the banking sector. We don't think that's going to happen, but we do think that by the end of this year, as inflation gets under control, the Fed will start to cut rates around December of this year in order to get the economy moving again. And then we expect those rate cuts to proceed aggressively in 2024 and 2025 with the Fed funds rate coming ultimately down below 2% compared to about 5% today.
All right. So the April jobs report exceeded expectations. Can you describe what's happening in the jobs market?
Yeah. So, It's a bit of a paradox right now because the rate of economic growth has been slowing, but and jobs have been growth has been slowing as well, but not as much as one would have expected. And so over the last year, we've seen job growth outpace growth in real GDP, and that's abnormal. Normally, we have GDP growth slightly ahead of job growth, with the difference between the two being productivity. So employers are still in this mode of kind of rapidly hiring that they were in early on in the pandemic recovery. But that's going to change ultimately, because if employers don't shift gears and reduce their hiring, it will start to cut into profits. So we do expect job growth to slow over the course of this year.
So let's talk about the debt ceiling debate. It's happening right now in Washington as we record this. Could you give a brief explainer of what the debt ceiling is and how it works?
So, you know, it's a procedural quirk. So when Congress enacts plans to spend money, it doesn't automatically authorize the debt needed to pay for that spending in excess of revenue. So instead, a separate process has to occur where Congress periodically raises the limit on total U.S. debt outstanding. And for a long time, historically, this procedural quirk didn't cause much issue. It was neglected as an area of concern, but it's become a tool for partisan squabbling in recent decades, and the culpability goes to both sides of the political spectrum. And right now, we are imminently reaching the debt ceiling today, and so there's a concern that as early as June, the U.S. could brush up against that ceiling. And at that point, we're not sure exactly what would happen, but the federal government would have to neglect to pay its bills or pay back its creditors. So that's obviously a major issue of concern for markets, given how unprecedented a default on U.S. government obligations would be.
And you touched on what the debt default would look like. Are there any other areas that people should be looking out for if that were to happen?
So, you know, frankly, I think nobody knows what the impact would be on markets and the economy if a default actually happened. If the government came to a deal immediately after a default and remediated the situation and made creditors whole, then perhaps markets would just shrug this off as a small technical issue. But there's a degree of self-fulfilling prophecy in terms of how bond markets assess the credibility, the credit worthiness of government debt. And so if this leads to a long-term loss in confidence in U.S. Treasuries, then that has a major deleterious implication for the U.S. economy.
And finally, what kind of fallout will the recent bank failures have on the economy? Because people have been talking about that as well.
So right now, it looks like it's going to be another contributor to slowing economic growth, but not a step change, certainly not a 2008 style scenario. Based off of our analysis, including our banking equity research team, we think that the issues that have brought down Silicon Valley Bank and First Republic and the other banks that have failed remain fairly contained. Those are idiosyncratic issues that affected those banks that made their, among other things, made their deposit bases especially risky and isn't a harbinger of broader weakness or broader panic in the banking sector. And indeed, in recent weeks, we've seen deposit outflows become quite small, which suggests that the rest of the banking sector is stabilizing.
All right, Preston, thank you for your time today and breaking down a lot of economic news.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
High inflation is refusing to budge as fast as some would like, and it has added to the market volatility. Low-cost ETFs could help investors withstand the effect of higher prices. Here's Morningstar Research Services Senior Manager Research Analyst Daniel Sodaroff with three inflation-fighting ETFs.
Inflation has been ticking higher over the past 2 years. The Consumer Price Index grew by 7.2% in 2021 and another 6.4% in 2022. Those rising costs can be a short-term headwind for stocks and bonds, but some are positioned to cope with inflationary pressures better than others. Gold-rated Vanguard Short-Term Inflation Protected Securities ETF, ticker VTIP or VTIP, is the first ETF for today. As its name implies, VTIP tracks an index of Treasury inflation-protected securities with less than 5 years remaining to maturity. The U.S. Treasury backs these bonds with the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, so they face little, if any, default risk. Their inflation-fighting power comes from their unique connection to the Consumer Price Index. The face value of these bonds and their corresponding coupon payments are designed to increase as inflation creeps higher. The downside is that these bonds aren't insulated from rising interest rates. The Federal Reserve tends to raise interest rates when inflation runs hot, which pushes bond prices lower. VTIP shields itself from some of that risk by sticking to bonds with 5 years or less remaining to maturity. While it's not completely immune from the impact of rising rates, it should fare better than others in the inflation-protected bond category during strong inflationary bouts. Avanis inflation-focused ETF is the second ETF for today. Trading under the ticker AVIE, it's a stock-focused ETF that's built around a handful of sectors best positioned to benefit from rising prices, including basic materials, energy, consumer staples, and healthcare. Companies operating in these industries are much closer to the raw materials that typically drive inflation, so they can benefit by passing along higher prices to their customers. Despite stronger positions in these sectors, AVIE held shares in about 350 companies at the end of March, so risks specific to a given company are relatively small. Avanis also charges a relatively low fee for these inflation-fighting powers. AVIE's net expense ratio lands at just 25 basis points per year. Gold-rated Vanguard Value ETF, commonly known by its ticker VTV, also has the potential to serve up some inflation protection through similar risk exposures. Like AVIE, VTV leans towards segments of the market that are best positioned to benefit from the rising costs of raw materials, including companies operating in the energy, consumer staples, and healthcare sectors. But its emphasis on these segments is more modest than AVIE, and it spreads the rest of its portfolio across a wide range of stocks from all industries trading at cheaper multiples. VTV's inflation protection won't likely measure up to that from AVIE over the short run. It's less dependent on cyclical segments of the market that offer the biggest punch. But its broader portfolio should hold up better over the long run, giving it a far better chance to compound its edge over rising prices. VTV's ultra-low fee is another considerable advantage over its peers in the large value category. Vanguard charges just 4 basis points per year for this ETF, which sets it up for great long-term performance, regardless of the direction that inflation travels.
Thanks, Dan. Subscribe to Morningstar's YouTube channel to see new videos about investment ideas. And you can also hear market trends and analyst insights from Morningstar on your Alexa devices. Say, play Morningstar. Thanks to senior video producer Jake Vankerson and lead technical producer Scott Halver. And thank you for checking out Investing Insights this week. I'm Ivana Hampton, a senior multimedia editor here at Morningstar. Take care.
This recording is for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. Opinions expressed are as of the date of recording. Such opinions are subject to change. The views and opinions of guests on this program are not necessarily those of Morningstar Inc. and its affiliates. While this guest may license or offer products and services of Morningstar and its affiliates, unless otherwise stated, he or she is not affiliated with Morningstar and its affiliates. Morningstar does not guarantee the accuracy or the completeness of the data presented herein. Morningstar Research Services is a subsidiary of Morningstar Inc. and is registered with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. Morningstar Research Services shall not be responsible for any trading decisions, damages, or other losses resulting from or related to the information, data analyses, or opinions, or their use. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. All investments are subject to investment risk, including possible loss of principal. Individuals should seriously consider if an investment is suitable for them by referencing their own financial position, investment objectives, and risk profile before making any investment decision.